In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Tuba, and as you notice today, the reading is about the man born blind. All of the readings of the month are all pointing to baptism and the grace that was granted to us in order for us to be able to understand and see, not with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes that was created in us when we received baptism. But today, actually, I'm not going to talk about baptism, and I'm not going to focus on the man born blind, but I'm going to talk about the Pharisees. And when they said, "We know that this man is a sinner," speaking about the Lord Jesus, it was something beyond question for them. They did not even have any kind of doubt. "We know that this man is a sinner." And in contrast, we find that the man who was supposedly born blind, that he's living in his own cell because he is not connected with what's happening around him, he was so much in touch with God and with logic and reason. He even debated with the Pharisees about that it doesn't make sense that if this man is a sinner, God will not listen to him. He's not going to be granting him to open an eye of a man born blind. We find the Pharisees, on the other hand, are totally alienated. They are detached. They live in their own bubble. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. This state of alienation, living in my own realm, this is something that's very serious, because the Pharisees were not, in their mind, sinners in any way, doing anything wrong. And this is the scariest part about the state of alienation. I might be living in my own world, thinking that I'm doing great, and I am right with God and with other people. And if I have problems, I easily can refer them to the people who are around me. They are not doing what they are supposed to do. They don't understand what they're supposed to understand. So today is speaking about living in a state of alienation. And alienation means detachment. I am by myself. So speaking today about what is the characteristics of the state of alienation. And then we talk about alienation from God, from church, from family, from reality. And then the way back from this state of alienation, how to return from this serious and dangerous state. So number one, what does it feel or how does it look like for a person who is alienated or detached? The first thing is he has his own understanding of things. In his mind, he's perfect, he's right, he knows what's going on. But he is, in a way, has something that's very unique about him. And maybe he'll try to find other people who are sharing the same kind of mindset in order to feel that, oh, I'm not alone. He and others will also still being alienated because they are applying their own understanding. It doesn't mean necessarily that this is the truth. So this person lives with his own mindset, and this is not subject to correction. That's it. It is what I know. It is what is right and truthful. The second characteristic is a struggle with loyalty and belonging. I cannot belong simply because I have my own way of thinking. So he's all the time, you feel like it's still, maybe he is present physically, but he is detached from the surrounding. The third characteristic is sense of discomfort. If I am not belonging to a place, I feel always I'm irritated being around those people or in this atmosphere. No matter what, I will always feel like I'm not in my place. And I said again, this person who lives in this state does not think that it is my mistake. He always thinks that it is others. Other people around me are not making me to feel comfortable. So the first thing we talk about today also in state of alienation is alienated from God. The Pharisees were totally alienated from God because they did not understand what God is after. God is after mercy, not after a sacrifice. Even though God gave us all of these kind of laws and ordinances, and he is the one who instituted all of these laws about offering a sacrifice, but God did not, in a way, institute this kind of laws in order for him to smell the aroma of a burnt offering. God wouldn't care about this, but he wants the people to understand it is when sacrifice is given, this act of love, an innocent person will be giving himself or for others. This is mercy. When we come to the church today, we come to receive his mercy through the sacrifices on the altar. The Pharisees were totally oblivious to this fact. It's all about in their mind about the Sabbath, about keeping the laws. Like, for example, when people come to the church thinking that it's all about how they move inside the church. When exactly they come at the door? Is it when Abuna is saying, starting the sermon, that's count, I can take communion? Or is it when the deacon starts standing in the Mangalaya reading the gospel? If I eat or I drink at 12:05, this what counts? If I am fasting, I eat something that's maybe 50-50%. All of these kinds of issues that sometimes people focus on it, make them alienated from the spirit of the command. We fast because we want to discipline ourselves. We want to participate with Christ in this exercise. The Pharisees were totally alienated from God because they were thinking it's all about keeping the Sabbath, offering sacrifice, doing the right moves in their rituals. Those people, the Pharisees, will be among those who will stand before the Lord in the last day and tell him, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? And this is very fearful thing, to think that I can stand before God on the last day and he would tell me, I do not know you. The lost son in the parable of the prodigal son was also alienated from the love of his father. His dad cared much, but in his mind, he felt like I'm mistreated, I am not finding myself, I want to go out, I will find happiness outside of my father's house. That's why when he came back, we hear the gospel describing him, saying when he came to himself, as if like he was alienated from himself, when he was thinking that it is better away from my father's house. Many people in the world that we live in today think that living away from God is the best thing they can do. This is when where fun starts, when we find ourselves and we find meaning for our lives, when we live alienated from God. The second alienation is alienation from the church. And this is also one of the very common states of alienations. It is when there is no understanding, no appreciation. We don't know what is the doctrine about. We don't appreciate even the sacraments. We feel like it's just something that's made up by the Orthodox. We don't understand the rites, and we don't appreciate them as well. All of the practices and wisdom, they are subject for our criticism and mockery. There is a difference between I do not understand, but I am trying to understand, and I do not understand, and I think that all of what's happening around me doesn't make sense. It is, again, I am going into a state of alienation from the church. Not only alienated from the church in the meaning of not knowing or understanding or appreciating the rites and the doctrines and sacraments, but also, what does it mean to be Orthodox? Is it just because we are observing certain fasts and we have a priest who wear a black tunic, then we are Orthodox? Orthodoxy is a spirituality, it's a way in life. It's all about experiencing things. It's all about discipleship and being taught, and we learn from the tradition what we inherited from the fathers. Because it's all about experience, that's why we baptize children when they are 40 days in age and ask their parents to bring them consistently to the church, to taste, to experience, to smell the incense, to see the icons, to touch a candle, taste the body and the blood. It's all about experiencing God. This is Orthodox spirituality that also encourages submission and obedience. Unfortunately, many people who live as Orthodox by name inside the church, they are Protestant in their spirituality. Everything is something that they grumble at, they object. It's all about if it makes sense to me or not. I can make for myself my own understanding, and I find difficulty to submit. I have issues with anything that remind me with any figures of authority. We have to be careful with this. If I am alienated from orthodoxy, there is a problem here. I will be staying in the church feeling it's a prison. Every time I hear something inside me, I feel like I'm irritated, I am angry at what the church is teaching me. An example from the Bible is Simon the sorcerer. We hear about him in Acts chapter 8. This man received baptism, but instead of him understanding what does it mean to live in the church, he understood it's all about gifts. And that's why he went asking St. Peter, can I buy the gift? He was in the church, but in his mind, he was looking for something else. This is not the church is about. We should not also be tempted all the time to think that what we care about is the miracles, the outcome of the belief, not the Lord Christ himself. And again, as I said, maybe you are today in the church, and I am sure some of us are on their phones, are in their own lives. They are not here. They are physically here, but they are totally alienated from the church. The third alienation is alienation or detachment from the family. Living inside the house physically, but my mind, my heart is out. I'm looking for the time when I come to college or whatever, and I run away. We find this example in the parable of the lost son, but this is the older son this time. He was living inside the house, but his mind was not with the family, was not with his father. It's about waiting for the reward. Give me my wage. Give me a goat that I can take and enjoy with my friends. That's why he used expressions like, first he was angry and would not go in. Why are you angry when your brother came? Isn't this what's going to make the family whole again? He tell his father, you never give me a young goat. And again, this son of yours, as if like he's not my brother. It's a state of alienation manifested in this older brother. He did not understand what his family is about. Esau, when he married a Canaanite woman, he was acting on his own selfishness. It is what I want. No matter if this matches my family's values or what they taught me, I want to marry this woman. It is what I want. No care for what the people around me, my family, they would like feel about this, or they appreciate it or agree with it or not. All of this describes alienation from family. It's a very also sad situation, unfortunately. People living inside their homes, but they are totally disconnected. The fourth state of alienation is alienation from reality, from the truth. We live here in the world. There is a certain reality and there is a truth about the life that we live in. Not everyone comes to understand why we are here. In the parable of the rich fool, this man, when he was granted riches, he did not comprehend that one day he's going to leave all of this behind. So in his mind, my reality is about to add more, build more stores, as if like he's going to live forever. He was alienated from the purpose of life. I was told one time about a commercial about a woman giving birth, and the child comes from her womb flying from the window. And while flying through the window, then he starts to grow and becomes a child, and then becomes a young man, and then becomes an older person, starting to age, all of this while he is flying out. And then he lands slamming into a grave. So after this, like few seconds commercial, then it reads, life is short, play more Xbox. This is the conclusion. So this is the understanding of if life is short, we should play more Xbox. This might look that something that's funny or ridiculous, but again, I'm telling you, many people live truly their life for fun and entertainment. It's all about playing something. If that's why the church is getting for them more and more boring, because where is the fun here? Where is the game here? What I am going to earn at the end is total detachment from the reality and the meaning and purpose of the life that we lead. In the story of Esther, we find Haman, the second man in the kingdom, so upset because Mordecai is not bowing to him, to the point that even he did not see anyone else except Mordecai. And he went to the king wanting not only to kill Mordecai, but to annihilate all of the Jews. In his mind, the truth of the problem is Mordecai is not bowing to me. It is all about Mordecai. If I kill him, my problems will be fixed. Actually, the true problem is Haman has an issue with his ego. His ego was his God. How this God would live with the fact that someone is not bowing. Haman thought that the problem is in the other person. The truth about his problem was inside. How many times we can relate to this? I think that the other person is the reason behind my upset. He made me angry. He acted in a way, and it is usually, typically, about something in me. The problem is inside, not in others. Cain was upset because of what? Because of his brother, or because of God did not accept his sacrifice? Never thought that it is because I did not do well. I did not offer what God was expecting from me. All of these examples in the Bible, people being upset at others, or being angry with others, or thinking to kill others, thinking that this is a solution, it describes their state of alienation from reality. Another also example of this state of alienation from reality, when I expect perfection from others, and I'm so much observant when people are not doing what they are supposed to do, but when it comes to myself, I do whatever, and I have excuses. I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. Yes, we know this, but you have to understand also this applies on other people around you. We all have this kind of like perception what others should do, what would be a good job for other people. But when it comes to us, I have my own excuses. Another also expression of this alienation from reality is to repeat the same mistake and expect a different result. I lead my life in a certain way, and this makes me to have accidents in my life, to more clashes, losses, and I keep repeating things thinking that it's going to be better next time. If it is not working, why we repeat it? It's again state of alienation from reality. How we should return back? In few words, number one, I should realize first of all that I am in this status. If I'm thinking that I am in the right place, everybody else is wrong, then I will never actually come from wherever I am, because I feel like I am in the right place at the right time. Other people should come and join me. Number one, I should realize and admit I am alienated, I am detached, I am in my own realm. The second step to return is to find the reference and follow it. What is the reference? It is what you say or what others, whom you are referring to judge what is true and what is false. The reference is important. That's why we hear the groom in the book of Song of Solomon. He advises the bride, tell her, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. If you don't know, come to where the shepherds are. Follow in the footsteps of the flock, the church. See how people lived before you, how they conducted themselves. Many of us, we struggle with praying with the Akbaya, and it is okay. But the problem is when we try to say, it doesn't make sense, it's not going to lead me anywhere. The Akbaya led thousands of people along history to know God and be in a relationship with Him, made them to acquire the necessary discipline to be able to pray at all times. We do not have to reinvent anything. There is already a way that was paved before us. We just have to observe it and walk in it. The third thing is repentance, turning from the evil ways and the sin of pride that blinds our eyes and make us to feel or think or understand that we are right, we are okay with God. The last thing is to learn and build the correct understanding of the essential matters. What is life is all about? Where we come from and where we are going to end? How we should conduct ourselves? What's to be done in order for man to be saved? All of these, we have to know and understand them very well in order for us to be living connected with God, with the church, with our families, with reality, and with ourselves. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.